This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Morning, everybody. We will start with the broadcast section that's got no embargo, followed by an embargoed section. No live tweeting during the broadcast section, please, and use the microphone provided. Jamie.
Thank you, Anthony. Good morning, Ange. Hope you're well. You're always talking about wanting to see signs of progress. Generally speaking, do you think you are seeing those signs of progress? And, you know, after Sunday, even once the dust settles and you pick the bones out of that game, can you sort of see enough to think we are on the right path?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Clearly. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. As clear as you want it to be. 2020. Definitely. 100%.
What gives you such optimism that you are?
Because of what I see. We're playing our football, measuring ourselves against the best. The players got real belief in what we're doing. That's all I need to see.
You mentioned after the game on Sunday how you wanted some of the players to be a bit more like Cooty. I assumed you meant that in terms of sort of the fight and desire and hunger they show. Is that a concern for you, that you're not seeing enough of that?
Well, we've only got one World Cup winner in the building, so, you know, it takes a bit of time. And it's not about hunger or fight. It's just about a self-belief that Cooty has because of who he is and his journey up to now. And the others are, a lot of the others are just beginning that. But Cooty's had his painful moments in his career and he's learned to get through them and he showed the way forward on Sunday. So that's all I meant, that, you know, some of it is just growth of individuals as people, which, again, you can't fast track. So, yeah, I thought Cooty was... He's been great for us all year, but, you know, on Sunday he really sort of led by example.
Just one final one from me. On a sort of slightly separate topic, but you'll probably seen that Sweden have rejected VAR coming into their league, and yeah. You've always been very clear in your thoughts on VAR.
I'm moving there.
Do you think, is that right? Got a scoop there. Take a job at Helsingborg.
I don't have a job, but I'm just...
Yeah, right, yeah. Do you think the ship has sailed here? Do you think it's too late to get rid of it altogether? And if it is here to stay, what specifically does need to change?
Yeah, no, it's here to stay. Absolutely. It's not going away. I'd change a hell of a lot on it. But again, I've said before that I think it's changed the game materially, which I don't think was the intention when it was brought in. And I watched the Champions League last night like everyone else did. If you hadn't have told me VAR was part of that game, I wouldn't have known. And I'm sure they had decisions to make, but it seemed to run pretty seamlessly. It just seems... Like I said, we're... we're trying to sort of pick the bones out of every little thing that happens in a football game at the moment, whether that's refereeing or any other part. And I don't like it. I've said it before, because it's changed the game. It changed the game experience. It's a different game, whether you're involved or you're not involved. So in terms of an active participant or a spectator. But hopefully they'll find the right sort of ground for it to work.
There does seem to at least be a recognition from PGMOL that it does need to be refined or be changed. If they were to reach out to Premier League managers and say, would you come and sit in a meeting room with us and tell us what you're...
We already do that, mate. But yeah. I've said before, we're not we're not the people that they need to consult with. We're not officials. They're officials. It's about them finding out what's the best decision-making process that's not going to affect the game. It's got nothing to do with managers. I manage a football team. I can tell them how to set up a team, but, you know, it's you know, and you're always at odds in those kind of meetings anyway, because the referees always feel like they've done the right thing, and we as coaches always feel aggrieved. So that's the basic case. I mean, you know, people telling me we're going to get explanation. What difference does that make? I thought we should add a penalty on the weekend. Other people didn't think we should add a penalty on the weekend. I wasn't still sure about Mickey van der Ven's offside, but other people say it is offside. So at the end of the day, who am I to sit in the room and tell officials how to do their job? They should know that. That's what they, that is their job. As I keep saying, I wouldn't want to panel referees to be advising coaches how to manage a team.
Charlie.
Morning, Ange. In terms of your team news for tomorrow's game, how is Timo doing?
Yeah, no, not good. Unfortunately, he's sort of had a couple of issues from the game. Timo with his hamstring, obviously. So, yeah, we've only got 2.5 weeks to go, so he'll miss the rest of the season. And Ben Davis got a calf injury out of the game, and he'll probably miss the rest of the season as well. Everyone else is okay. Skippy should be back for this game, out of the ones who've been out.
In terms of Richarlison, do you feel he's fit enough to start the game at Stamford Bridge?
Yeah, he's working back to fitness. I mean, he's missed a fair bit, so it was good to get him some game time. And yeah, you know, whether that's tomorrow night or Sunday, obviously we've got 3 games this week, big game. So I'm sure Richie will play a significant part of that.
And in terms of the challenge of Chelsea tomorrow, obviously the reverse fixture, it was chaotic to say the least. Yeah. How do you feel your team have developed since that match, and how do you view how they might have developed since that game as well?
Yeah, like I said, you know, for us, it's you know, it's a constant sort of evolution of overcoming different challenges we've had since then. Fair to say, up until that point, we were in pretty good shape from, you know, a squad point of view, and yeah, we had a good rhythm of games, and since then we've had some, you know, disruptions in many areas, and we've had to overcome those challenges, some well, some not so well. So we've been but for the most part, I think, fairly consistently. And look, Chelsea, I mean, their recent form is very good. They've got some real talent in their group for sure, and yeah, Mauricio is an excellent manager. So, and I think irrespective of all of that, you're playing away from home, you know, at their ground. It's a derby, London derby again, so you kind of know it's going to be a tough game irrespective.
Yeah, you mentioned it being a London derby. It is one of the London derbies that the fans really care about. Do you sense from your players that there will be an element of revenge for what happened in that game?
Oh, I don't think so. I've never bought into that revenge, because, I mean, that would mean that you need some sort of other stimulation other than going out there and just trying to win a game of football. And I think every week that's what you've got to do. You understand the meaning of games, particularly, you know, as a club or to our supporters. But I've always felt as footballers or managers or whoever we are, we shouldn't need extra motivation other than there's a game on and we want to win it.
Angelo, I just wondered, James Maddison was so good for you at the start of the season, and he's come back to his injury. Is he still finding he's got to find his best form again as you approach the second half of the season?
Yeah, look, it's a challenge, but I mean, I reckon just about every player in the squad I've had that question about, and I think I've been pretty consistent in my answers that, you know, we've had a very disruptive season. He's another one that's had disruption. Like the first 10 games, you know, he played every game. He was going really well. And then obviously he picked up the injury, missed a lot of football, kind of come back. But at the same time, you know, we've had challenges as a team where we haven't had real fluency in terms of cohesion, in terms of games, in terms of starting lineups. He's had to battle through that, like a lot of them. But that's part of the challenge. That's where, you know, for us, as I keep saying, the fact that things haven't gone smoothly this year means you feel a bit of pain, but I think in the long term you create a stronger and more resilient group, and, you know, Matters is one of those guys. He's got to fight his way out of it.
Ian.
Hi, Ange, how are you?
I'm good, mate.
You mentioned earlier you 100% you've made progress. Is that seen by the fact that you're going to be finishing in a European place?
No, it's because of what I'm seeing every day and the football we're playing and the development of our players. And like I said, their belief in what we're trying to do, they're far more important to me than what position we are.
Sunday, set pieces were, I think, fair to say, the undoing during the game against Arsenal. Has that become a worry over the last few weeks, over the season, and something you'll be looking to address in the summer transfer window?
In the summer transfer window?
How you defend set pieces and maybe getting players in who can...
I think I've answered this question and I don't think it satisfies people, but no, I don't see it as an issue. It's something we work on along with everything else in our game. There are far more important things we need to concentrate on at the moment in terms of the team we're building. I think people want to believe that football is, and it can be, very prescriptive. You know, you got an illness, here's the tablet, and you feel better. But I've never believed that. You know, I've always been about trying to create an environment, style of football and a squad that can win things, and I've never done it through a prescriptive manner, and I certainly won't be doing it now.
I guess your answer to that question kind of answers my next question as well.
That's good, so you don't have to ask it.
No, I do. I still need to ask it, because otherwise my boss will say, why didn't you ask him the question?
Go for it.
Only once in this calendar year have you led at half-time in a game. Mm. 8 out of 15, you've been behind.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for a slow start, or maybe not quite the fast start that you would like Spurs to have, or the first half displays?
Yeah, again, I think, to be fair, I've had the whole gambit of it this year. If I was playing bingo, I would have called it a few weeks ago. We've conceded early, scored early, conceded late, scored late, had great starts, poor starts, set pieces good, set pieces bad, some good football. It's part of where we're at. But within that, I'll make it sound as if it's been a real struggle. I don't feel it's been a real struggle. I think I've still seen, as I said before, real belief in this group. Even on Sunday, at 3-0 down half-time, the game could have gone very easily a different way, but it didn't. I love the spirit this group shows in the face of adversity, and all these things that people see as issues for us right now are not at the top of my list. At the top of my list is, like I said, creating an environment, a football team, and a style of football that will win us things, and we're on the way to doing that.
Ali.
Hi, Ange. Obviously, you lost your two natural left-backs now. Mickey van der Ven has previously occasionally played as a left-back. Is there any temptation to play him there, or do you not want to lose his pace from the middle?
No, and it's not the first time this year we've been challenging that way. You know, we've lost wingers more than one at once. We've lost central defenders more than one at once. It's just the way it goes, striker. So we'll deal with that. It's unfortunate for Benny, who, you know, again, he's another one who... And it's understandable because it's not just we didn't have a game for 2 weeks. He hadn't played the start of the game for ages because we just haven't had the fixtures where we can rotate the squad, keep everyone in good shape. And again, we've thrown him in after not playing for quite a while. It's almost inevitable that he'll pick up an injury. So disappointed for him because I think he was looking at, he finally gets his opportunity over the next course of games and it doesn't work out. But we'll find a solution for that position as we have before.
See, Timo missing the rest of the season, he's a player on loan. How do you kind of, I suppose you have to now judge his impact over the time he's had, and also your thoughts of maybe him being a permanent player in the future?
Yeah, that's stuff for another day. I've got a game tomorrow, and that's where my focus is.
Well, how about just judging his time and how you felt his impact?
Yeah, that's been? I'm not making assessments on anybody right now because I've got 24 hours to prepare for an important game, and I'm focused on what's important right now.
Okay, back to Christian Romero then. Painful moments you spoke, obviously one came against Chelsea. How impressed have you been with the improvement in his discipline since that day?
Yeah, look, he's definitely... but again, upon reflection, you know, when you look at that challenge he got sent off for, I've seen at least half a dozen since then, so they've obviously changed it slightly since then. So I thought, you know, he paid the price for, being who he is on that day. But anyway, I haven't had an issue with his discipline all year. And that game, we started really well. We were flying, and like I said, it was an unfortunate moment, and Kuthi paid the price for that. But I haven't had an issue with him since I've been here. If historically, it was different, then it wasn't under my watch. And he's been outstanding for us this year. I mean, I knew he was a fantastic player, but working with him every day, seeing how competitive he is, how much, he wants to win everything he does, and then his qualities as a footballer, I think he's a brilliant centre-back, but also an outstanding person, and really happy to have him.
Just sticking with Christian, on Sunday, obviously, he was popping up in some quite unusual positions, including for his goal. How much of that is, at halftime, you saying to him, you go where you want, and how much is him just deciding, in the moment, this is the thing for me to do?
Yeah, well, it's not about sort of telling them you go where you want, but it's not unusual for us. So we've had, we kind of set up a system where, whether your full-backs, centre-backs, midfielders, wingers, if you're in the flow of play and you feel like you can make an impact, then, then the system and the structure is there to support that. So, it's not the first time he's done it. In fact, he did it against Chelsea when we played them. I mean, he did the same thing. So he's done it quite a few times this year. But again, it's just about the moments. And he's one that, as I said, he's a little bit more sort of, he's got that self-belief to not second-guess those kind of moments, whereas others maybe are still in that phase of not really being sure whether they should, take the initiative. But again, that's just growth for some of them. But, Kuthi, he wants to impact games of football, and we try and set up a structure where all of them can do that.
Just with James as well, do you, when you see a player who obviously, is hitting such heights and, he's not so much, do you proactively seek a player out to kind of speak to them and lift their confidence, or is it kind of more subtle than that?
No. As I said, I'm about building an environment here that hopefully allows players and everyone involved to come in every day and push themselves to be the best they can be. The reality of it is there's no magic words or magic sort of solutions to any problems or challenges you have. I've always felt you work hard, be the best you can be, try and get the support you need and perform. Unless there's an issue there or somebody needs to seek me out, I always look at how they're training, and if they're training is where it should be, then they have no issues with me.
And that's the interesting thing you said there about Christian being one of the guys who has the belief to really, take advantage of the fact there is that freedom. Is that something, when you said about getting a bit more of Christian into the other players, is that one of the things that players feel confident enough to say, I am going to, if I see it, I'm going to go and take up this position?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But like I said, I you can't teach that. That's just experience and like I said, growth as people as much as footballers. And you can't expect, or rarely can you expect, that players in his first year of the Premier League or has just joined this club or we've changed the way we play to be fully embraced. But there have been moments this year where all of them have done it, I think. But Christian's further advanced, obviously. I mean, he's got 5 goals this year, and he hit the post from a set piece on the weekend as well. So, we could add a couple of goals on the day. He's one that has been a real catalyst for me, because when you have a few in the group and we've got 2 or 3 who embrace it but also have the self-belief to really supercharge it, then that drags everyone else along, and I'm sure we'll get impact from the rest of the guys from that.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with 3 for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges.
That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Back to George to finish his section, please.
Hi, Ange. You've spoken a lot about set pieces today and
I haven't. I've been asked a lot about it.
we haven't actually had much chance to speak to Vaccaro about it in the mix or after games, but I wondered kind of generally how he feels about it. Is he sort of frustrated, or does he not feel it's his kind of issue and it's something the team need to address?
No, I think he's seeing it as a challenge. And again, it's something that I'm struggling with. Again, I watched Champions League last night. There was a couple of times they went on the keeper and it was a foul straight away. So I don't know. It's a weird one for me. And we've tried to get clarity on it. And I don't think there is clarity on it. But it's just a challenge for him to overcome, and he's determined to do that. And I know he will, because again, I know his mentality of, not kind of looking for excuses, but finding a solution through that. And he'll do that.
And I just want to talk to you about the midfield. I mean, I remember at one stage of the season talking about how it was a great problem to have. You had so many options. Feels like it's become a bit of a problem, sort of selection dilemma. I mean, you've tried a few combinations in there. Is that an area in the summer that you feel like you're going to need to bring new midfielders in?
No, I mean, look, in terms of the summer, like I said, I think I said maybe 3 months ago, we already know what we need to do, so nothing's really changed in terms of that. But again, in terms of the midfield, it's just really difficult because, like I said, we don't have a series of games. We haven't been able to sort of, give guys, game time on a regular basis to kind of get them all to a level. So they've kind of all been, stop-start sort of appearances, and we haven't had a lot of fluency in there. But at the same time, I think, all of them have contributed in a different way this year. We've had to rely on all of them because, we've had some issues and absences in that area. But again, we haven't had the cohesion apart from earlier in the season where, again, we were very settled that we need in that area. But that's probably been across the board. But I think at different stages they've all contributed.
OK, we'll end the broadcast section there. Move on to the embargoed section starting at 10:30 p.m. Dave?
Just not interested in your questions.
Just a quick bit of clarity on Davis's injury.
Calf,
Is it anything to do with the kick from Rice when he got...
No, I think it was... He actually strained it after that, I think, yeah.
OK, cool. And I just wanted to ask you about Basuma and the Hoybier decision. Can you just sort of talk us through your thought processes about that selection for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, just the makeup of the team and how we were looking to sort of set up and, Biss has, again, had a sort of interrupted season and, mindful of the fact we've got a big finish here that I think we're going to need all our midfielders over the next sort of five games. And so it was just the way I thought the game was going to go and the structure we needed for the challenge we're going to face in that game.
Was it a slightly more reactive move based on the opposition? Is that sort of part of the...
No, it's not. I mean, as I said, it's... Like I need to kind of find ways to test things and measure things, and we're when you're trying to build something and you have a few opportunities to do that in the way we play our football, it's about trying to tap into as many of the sort of resources we have within this playing group to see where we're at.
Where do you stand on that kind of thing?
I don't know. It's a strategy. You can label it. It's a strategy, yeah. So I have very little interest in that stuff. Never have. I don't. And it's not me casting judgment, but I just don't really care. I mean, if people are going to think that that gives them an advantage or that's going to affect the game, I just don't worry about that stuff. I try and worry on... Not worry, but I try and focus on... building teams that win things.
When you say you're focused on that stuff, surely that would impact your goalkeeper if someone's trying to come do these clubs?
Well, you know what? if it's not going to be that, it's going to be something else. Just, mate, who cares? Seriously. Oh, I know it's great theatre. I understand it and it generates discussion. But, mate, whether he's trying to, under his glove, tickle his armpit, I really don't care. And I try and get my players to not worry about that stuff, not focus on that stuff. It's not important, mate. Really, it isn't. And if you want to go down that avenue, well, what's he supposed to do? Turn around and throw a punch and knock him out? And what does that do? Or tell him, please don't touch him? I mean, seriously, we're not in the schoolyard. And I don't think that that's where, well, it's never been where my focus lies. I don't care about that stuff. And to be honest, if I saw one of my players do it, I'd be saying, mate, well, seriously, get the ball and play some football. But that doesn't mean that that's not a strategy that can be used. But I just don't buy into it. I don't care about it. It makes no impact on me. Never has. It's like, you know, let's just play some football, man.
And when you answered the question, you said you have asked for a little bit of clarity around sort of around goalkeeping. Mm. How did the club ask for clarity? Can you just?
Oh, I mean, you're allowed to. Yeah, yeah, you're allowed to reach out to them. They're not a hidden society, secret society. So, I mean, I'm sure all the clubs do. We seek clarification on certain things in case anything's changed, because you never know, and they're always open to that. I think they want that dialogue, and we're just trying to get some clarity on sort of, you know, what the actual position is on sort of interference in the goals. Because I think I mentioned that at the time. I think it was after, I can't remember what game it was, that. And again, I'm ancient, mate, but I always thought the goalkeeper was a bit of a protected species, and maybe that's shifted now and I missed the memo.
Did you get that clarity? Do you now understand
more? No, not really. No.
Mike.
And this fixture's been spicy, should we say, down the years, say in one or two cases. You've got experience of the spiciest derby of all north of the border, so I wouldn't have thought Stamford Bridge holds any fears for you, but where is the dividing line between passion in a derby and misadventure? Because 7-8 years ago in this fixture, Tottenham got 9 yellow cards. That was the night Leicester won the league. Where's the dividing line between passion and misadventure?
I've always tried to, as I said, create a mindset where, you know, you're always, I just don't feel you should be more passionate about one fiction than another. I don't understand it. I don't believe it. I know the significance of it to, like I said, the club and others and supporters, absolutely. But I tell the players to play every game as if it's their last game of football, or, you know, to train as if it's their last training session. And if I felt that they would show more passion for one particular fixture, I'd be questioning what I do on a daily basis, because, and I know you can't be successful. So you've got to have a really strong mindset. And I think if you kind of condition yourself in that way, then you don't cross the line. You know, it's when you feel like, okay, I don't know, I really hate this club, or I want revenge, and I'm going to just go out there and do something that I don't do on a daily basis. I think that's when you can eventually, come undone in terms of crossing that line. So my view is that, you know what, every day, every game we play, mate, let's go at it like it's the last game we have.
Just going back to the home game later on this season, have you ever been in charge of a team before that's been cheered off, you know, applauded off, having lost 4-1 at home to an opposition that the fans don't care much about? So it must be almost a unique experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were cheered off. I think there was an appreciation for effort, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, ultimately, that's, I think, what all supporters want to see. They want to see their team giving everything. I think even the most sort of passionate supporters understand you're not going to win all the time, but the manner in which you play and you present yourself, and I think on that day what the supporters were applauding was the effort of the players, that, you know, they kind of, a bit like the weekend, they refused to lay down even when things were going against us. And I think it's right that the players got acknowledged on that day. I mean, if you've lost 4-1, and, you know, I mean, when we lost at Newcastle away, we didn't get cheered off then, and rightly so, because we didn't have the same application as we did in that day.
Tom?
Just looking back on that game, I think when people look back on the season, that would be one of the standout fixtures. And there was so much sort of debate afterwards about how you guys played with nine men, you know, what questions were given you afterwards. When you look back on that, how do you reflect on it after all this time? How impactful that was on your season? Obviously you lost players through injury and suspension, but just the sort of conversation around yourself as a manager.
Yeah, but I think I said after the game too, I think, you know, whilst people were focusing kind of on the way we went about it, I knew it was going to be a pivotal day because, you know, I knew we'd lost Matters and Mickey van der Ven for a big spell. I knew we'd lost Christian for a chunk. And, you know, I think at that stage we'd already lost, sorry, Perisic and Solomon. And I'm going, okay, well, this will be a real test for us for now. And not part of me, but I expected something to happen because it was never going to run as smooth as it did the start. And it's a credit to the players, we got off to such a great start. But I knew after that game that, yeah, we would be really, really challenged in terms of the squad we had at the time, where we were in our development. But, you know, the manner in which we played, yeah, I mean, I was, yeah, I think it maybe gave people a small insight into kind of what we're trying to create here and, you know, the way we're going about it in terms of how we're going to deal with challenges. And, you know, subsequent to that, we've still tried to do it the same way. And, you know, we, like I said, we haven't always succeeded. But, you know, I still feel, as I said before, that I think all these, you know, the kind of pain we're going through for a lot of things this year is going to hold us in good stead.
Football, people often talk about money talking and the amount of money you spend eventually will get you the rewards. It's quite hard to fight against that. Do you feel like it's inevitable eventually that Chelsea, given how much they've spent, will get back to the top?
Oh, I don't think it's inevitable. I think there's definitely an avenue there. And but again, yeah, you got to remember that they've sort of put a squad together. Yeah, it's Maurizio's first year. There's a hell of a lot of challenges within that. They've got a young squad, so I think there's an avenue there, but it's not guaranteed, and it's certainly not inevitable. If you feel like anything is inevitable, there's a fair chance you won't get there. Nothing will get you there, but, you know, having, as I keep saying, they obviously had a plan and a strategy in place when they signed these players and putting Maurizio in charge. And, you know, I've said before, it's about, you know, how true you stay to that strategy and plan, whether you get to the other side.
And you'll have expected the questions about set pieces after the game of the weekend and recently. But when you look at Arsenal's goals they've scored from it, it has to be a massively contributing factor to their title track.
Yeah.
I suppose the question is, how much is it bothering you? I know you're talking a lot about it, you've got bigger things to focus on, but it is quite a big factor in results. Is it
not in the least. I get it. It's not an answer. Look, to quote Billy Joel, you may be right, I may be crazy, but it's maybe a lunatic you're looking for, mate, because I'm just not interested in it. I never have. And I think enough of you have done enough research on me to know that this is not the first time I've been questioned about set pieces in my coaching career. There is an underlying reason for that, which I'm very, very comfortable with. No.
Does that mean...
Do a bit of work, mate. Come on.
Can I take from that eventually it will be less of an issue process?
Eventually, I will create a team that has success, and it won't be because of working on set pieces.
Cool. Matt.
I just quoted Billy Joel, didn't I? Yeah, sorry. Did anyone know who that is, by the way? You almost sang along, didn't you? Yeah.
When you're talking about creating a team that's going to create success,
yep.
You're sort of drifting onto what I was going to talk about. I was going to say, is there anything in 6 months since that Chelsea game that has made you think twice about what you're trying to do?
No, not really. I mean, obviously there are things that have happened that, you know, you're kind of always assessing, okay, well, you know, how do we continue the progress with what we're dealing with at the moment? And But a lot of it, you know, like I said, is not kind of mapped out, because you just don't know. Because I said last week, we started the season with a sort of clear idea about what squad we were going to have, but obviously, you know, we're still doing business in the last week of the transfer window. And, you know, the challenges we've had since then in terms of injuries and, you know, a couple of season-ending ones and absences and the disruption to our sort of fixturing has, you know, mean that you're kind of looking, okay, well, how can we overcome the fact that we haven't been able to get a sort of regular run of games? How do I really assess the group I have at the moment? Like I said, you know, some of them are not playing as much probably as I would have wanted them to, so I can see where we're at. So they're the kind of things you kind of try and fill the gaps that exist. But for me, you know, I keep saying there's kind of three pillars to building that, and that the success. One is the environment, which I think we're on the way of doing, but we still have some further development there. Our football, the way we play, again, very much a work in progress, but progress, and the squad, and you know, all three, those three things. I haven't really changed my mind about what I think we need to do, but certainly there are some gaps there which I would have liked to have seen a little bit more evidence from. I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan.
When will be the right decision to make the call on Timo Werner?
Yeah, post-season. And the only reason I say that is because it's not about the here and now. It's not. It's about the overall strategy. Because, again, I'm talking about, you know, where I want us to be in, you know, the next sort of 6 months to be in a better place to deal with what we did today. So, you know, Timo, we signed until the end of the year on loan, and he's part of that strategy to see, okay, what do we need to do in the summer? Can we do it? Are there going to be other gaps there? And where does Timo fit in with that strategy? So we have a plan in place, and that was kind of irrespective of... I think he's been very good for us. I think he came in at a really important time. You know, in January when sort of, particularly when Sonny was away, we had then Richie got an injury, and, you know, we're really short in those wide areas. Him coming in was very, very helpful for us, and I think he's made an impact. But in my mind, those kind of decisions, the definitive ones, I still need some more sort of clarity about what we've got here first.
Okay, and we'll finish with Dan for 12 o'clock tomorrow, please.
Hi, Andrew. Back on the 4-1, at previous clubs you've spoken about, you kind of know you've got the players and you've won them over. But just wonder, kind of seeing the team defend on the halfway line like that with nine men, kind of how much confidence that gave you at the time that you kind of got through to the players, your message was getting across?
I think that's a fair reflection in terms of... But, you know, the question for me always in these circumstances is, are they doing it because I'm telling them to do it, or are they doing it because they believe in it? And that's always the process you're going through. And it's inevitable at the start. Most of it is happening because you're telling them to do it. So at least I'm making an impact. They're listening to me. So that's one box sort of ticked. But for it to truly kind of evolve into something I want, it's because the players believe in it. And I've seen, you know, players growing into that and believing in it more, but we're not there yet. But, you know, so, you know, you come away from that game, you say, okay, the players are all in for sure at that stage, and definitely the staff, because they wouldn't have gone about it in that manner. The question I take when I step back is, well, is that because I've told them to do this, or there's real belief in this is the way forward for us? And that's always, the thing that, you know, I'm kind of really sort of sensitive to see, well, like I said, it's great they're listening to me, but for us to truly be the team we want, they've got to be, because it is challenging to play this way all the time. And you can't sort of just dip your toe in it. You've got to really be all in. And like I said, I've seen growth within the group for that. But again, we've still got a way to go.
Well, that was my next question. Where are you with that? I mean, how far are they from being true
leaders? Yeah, look, I think at different stages, you know, because again, you've got to understand they also go through their own individual challenges, whether that's injuries, you know, loss of form, whatever, and all those things still make them question it. But yeah, just in kind of my sort of experience, that yeah, the true belief comes when yeah, you've got the majority of the squad and the staff who I'm really confident that, you know what, if I didn't turn up, they would still go about things the same way. I don't think we're at the majority yet.
And a question about Mauricio. I mean, his 5.5 years here was kind of exhilarating, but I suppose didn't have anything tangible to show for at the end in terms of silverware. I think, well, I wonder kind of when you came in, did you get any sense that there was still a sort of hang-up at all here from what happened under Mauricio?
No, I mean, I don't know, but I don't really ask those questions. I don't think it's relevant. I mean, it's a funny one, you know, because if all we measure sort of success on is just trophies, then okay, you know. But I don't think that's what life's about. And I think anyone who doesn't think that Maurizio's 5.5 years here were successful doesn't really appreciate, I think, football for what it is, because, yeah, to get to a Champions League final, to, you know, come runners up in the toughest league in the world. Okay, there's no silverware, but in my mind, particularly with the way he developed that group, I think he was a success. But this is the business we're in, and, you know, we get measured by... Most of us get measured by other things, so we've got to accept that. But I, you know, they're not questions I need to ask or I need to sort of investigate. As I said, I go by what I see now, today, what's important to me today. You know, today what's important to me is how the lads train and get ready for a big game tomorrow.
Great. Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.